Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
And welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, we are giving away $200 in slot play to Sasquatch Casino up in Blackhawk. The first four callers are going to get $50 each. And while you are up there, you're going to get a chance to get involved in one of their great promotions, and they always have fantastic promotions. Right now, they are giving away a Ford Mustang RTR on Father's Day, Sunday, June 20th. And if you don't want it, you're going to get nearly $23,000 in cash instead. First four callers on the GoFast Energy Drink Hotline and Text Line are going to be going to Sasquatch on us. Remember, if you've won in the past, you're not eligible to win again. The phone number, 303-831-1340. 303-831-1340. All right, Mace, you and I had a discussion in the last segment, and only you could take a two-option answer and turn it into a scene out of Macbeth with a 3 to 4 minute soliloquy. So every time you do that, John McEnroe is going to help me out.
Answer my question!
Okay. That's going to be a consistent drop on this show.
And I'll be like, I'm going to answer the question the way I want to.
Okay, John, John, help me out again with Mason, please.
Answer my question!
Thank you.
I like how you left out the other part of that, too, because it's like, the question, jerk!
Right.
Yes. Well, at least you're not going that far.
Well, you're not a jerk, but sometimes you just need to answer the question. Time now for the lead.
The Lead, presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk.
And by the way, if you ask me a question, I will answer the question the way that you asked it. I won't go off on a tangent and turn into a Hamlet and have another soliloquy.
Well, here's the thing.
Here it comes.
Well, here's the thing.
Okay.
Answer my question!
Does an artist get confined to two colors, or are you going to let him or her work with the entire palette of colors?
First of all, it's palette. I love correcting you.
I thought palette was involved your taste buds.
What's
palette.
A palette?
Like the color, and then like the spectrum of colors. Like you have like on the palette, you've got like all the various colors, and you dip your paintbrush in.
What are you going to a Bob Ross on me? We're going to have happy little trees. Right now,
I see some happy little trees outside. They're getting rained on. They're getting watered. It's glorious.
Right. All right. Did we do the lead already? I think we did. Okay. Yeah, we did. With that, grades nationally for the Broncos draft in order, not in order, but here are some of the draft grades: D+, A-, B, C, B+, B+, A-. A lot of positive grades, but then you have a D+, and you have a B. And you have a C.
At least one grade was an F.
Oh, I didn't see the F.
Woody Page gave him an F.
Oh, okay.
Because they didn't get the quarterback.
Is he national?
I get the NFL.
ESPN. He writes for the Gazette. Okay. But you'd call him national, even though he's based here.
Why do you think there's such a wide range?
There's such a wide range because, and looking at some of the grades that were given, people are grading not on the pick, per se, they're grading on what they believe the Broncos should have done.
Exactly.
And if you believe the Broncos should have taken a quarterback, right, and they came out of the draft without a quarterback, then you would regard this draft as something average or subpar. If you measure the quality of the player, Pat Surtain as a prospect, and playing a premium position, getting him in the top 10. If you're only looking at Pat Surtain in a vacuum, there's absolutely no objection that most are going to have with this pick. If you're being intellectually honest.
people.
The objection is based on what you think they should have done.
Okay. So the D plus came from a guy by the name of Brad Gagnon.
Who?
From Bleach. Exactly. Bleach Report.
Sorry.
This is his.
He probably says Andrew. Here's Andrew Mason and says who?
Right. Here's his reasoning. Sertan could become a great NFL player. He should have ended it right there. So if Sertan could become a great NFL player, why is it a D plus?
Couldn't they all become great NFL players if we're really thinking about it?
This is what he wrote. Sertan could become a great NFL player, but they already added Kyle Fuller and Ronald Darby to work with Bryce Callahan and Duke Dawson Jr. Well, way to go deep on the depth chart, Brad, bringing on Duke Dawson Jr. I have a feeling Duke Dawson Jr., all due respect to him, is not going to be competing in a legitimate way with Pat Surtain. He continues to write, it simply wasn't a major need for a team coming off four consecutive losing seasons, especially with Justin Fields, Micah Parsons, Rashawn Slater, and Vera Tucker on the board. We will see how Justin Fields plays with Chicago. By the way, I've already heard the backtracking on Justin Fields if he doesn't work out. You know what it is?
That he's going to a place where quarterbacks go to die in Chicago.
It's a bad team. And who's to say he wouldn't have had success here? No.
Well, he's actually going to a place right now for this year.
Yeah.
Is it a shaky organization? Yes. He's also going to a place where the guy who helped Patrick Mahomes get up to speed is the one who's going to be whispering in his ear this year.
Right.
So you can argue that in one very important respect, he's actually going to a scenario where he should do well because Matt Nagy does know what he's doing with young quarterbacks,
right,
especially those who are dual threat like Fields is, even though he prefers to work from the pocket, he can take off.
I think the one thing that we learned about George Payton in this draft is, regardless of position, at least in this year's draft, he wanted the best player available. He wanted the best football player that was on his board.
It's actually the kind of draft you'd put together if you had a great quarterback in play and you liked your team in general and you said, okay, who are the best guys who can provide the most help right now?
Right.
Pat Surtain is going to be ready to go in some way right now. Right. Javonte Williams could be starting for you at running back. That's a...
Right.
Honestly, those are seriously the kind of picks that if Aaron Rodgers were already the Broncos quarterback, you know what you'd be seeing on these grades? A's.
Right. The only player that is more talented, physically gifted. Actually, I will take this a step further. The two most gifted players in this draft. In order is the tight end that went to the Falcons. And now since we're past the draft, I can't remember his name.
Kyle Pitts.
Penei Sewell.
Kyle Pitts. No, not Penei Sewell. Micah Parsons. Two most talented players in this draft.
Where's Trevor Lawrence ranked for you on that list?
He's a quarterback. He's not the most talented. My opinion.
Well, how are you defining talent? I mean, I'm defining talent based on what they do at their position. If we're talking about maybe like all-around athleticism, I think that's where you're going with that, right? Okay. Like for me, talent.
Physically
gifted. Trevor Lawrence is number one with all respect to everybody else.
Physically gifted. How's that?
Yeah, that's fair.
Physically gifted. It goes Pitts, Micah Parsons. Physically gifted. Micah Parsons, if he didn't have so many problems in his head, he probably could have gone top six.
Yeah, he wouldn't have gotten past. I think he wouldn't have gotten past Miami.
Right.
Easily.
But he's got major problems, Brad Gagnon. And that's why the Broncos didn't take him.
It is my understanding,
Parsons wasn't even on their board because he has so many problems.
And a lot of people had Micah Parsons mocked. I don't think you and I for a second ever thought Micah Parsons was coming to Denver.
Not for a second.
And frankly, I think we both kind of hoped that he's going to be somebody else's problem.
Well, he went to the perfect team, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
A team that drafted Greg Hardy. And a team that drafted the guy who can't pass a drug test, Gregory.
You know who
he's Dez Bryant.
You know who
he's a perfect Dallas Cowboy.
You know who would have drafted Micah Parsons?
Bengals.
Mike Shanahan.
Well,
he took chances on guys for
Javon Walker, Travis Henry, Dale Carter. Yeah.
Yeah. He took chances on talented, but troubled guys. That was sort of his thing.
Right. Cause he could turn them around.
And there, I think one thing that is evident about what we've seen from the Broncos, especially this year, is they're not going to evaluate with the belief that they have some kind of magic elixir that turns guys who have a litany of issues into perfect citizens.
You know the Broncos history far better than I do. Shanahan took over in 95. It's fair to say he built that roster.
He supplemented. A lot of it was in place. Look, Mike inherited John Elway,
yep.
Steve Atwater.
Yep.
He inherited Rod Smith, although tip of the cap to Mike Heimerdinger for really coaching Rod up.
Right.
He inherited Tom Nalen, previous year's draft.
Yep. You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like the Yankees with Bernie Williams, Derek Jeter, Andy Pettit, Posada, and Rivera. The guts of that team.
Yeah.
Now, he drafted Terrell Davis.
He did. And he drafted John Mobley the following year. Then they brought in, Ed McCaffrey was a free agent that Mike brought from San Francisco.
But the guts of that team those guys.
Yeah, most of that building was a John B., Bob Ferguson, Harold Richardson deal over the previous year. Gary Zimmerman, they trade for him. That was a trade that was when John Beek was there and when, of course, and so Beek Zimmerman, stayed under Shanahan.
So Zimmerman was there when... Uh-huh. When,
he was 93.
When Shanahan got there.
Shannon Sharp was there. I mean, that's what I mean.
Okay, so...
A lot of the cake had been baked on that team.
Let me get to my point. So when Elway retired, it really became Shanahan's team.
Yes.
And they won a single playoff game.
Why do you think Mike's not in the Hall of Fame?
For point of emphasis, Mike's a great coach, should be in the Ring of Fame.
He's in the Ring of Fame. He's going in this year.
That's right. I think he's a borderline Hall of Fame guy.
Yeah.
He won a single playoff game with the Broncos when his fingerprints became all over the roster.
And this is part of why Mike Shanahan is not in the Hall of Fame, even though he has two Super Bowls.
Well, because, coaches have to wait a little bit longer your name's like Lombardi.
Well, but no, actually, I mean, depending on what you accomplish. I mean, Bill Parcells did not wait very long after he retired, for example.
Coward didn't wait that long either.
Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah, he did.
Johnson has been out of football a lot, 13 years more than Mike Shanahan.
Right.
And he has the same number of titles, 2.
Right.
And he's in the Hall of Fame. Bill Cowher has 1 title.
Right.
He's in the Hall of Fame. But the guys with 2 titles that are retired that aren't in the Hall of Fame, one is Tom Coughlin, and again, he hasn't been retired for all that long.
Right. How long has Shanahan been retired?
He was fired after 13. So
he's been out for a
while. He's going into his 8th season.
We've never even heard his name get brought up, have we?
Well, it's starting to, because after Cowher and Jimmy Johnson went in, now it's like the door's open. But right now, Mike is kind of, he's in a category with, for example, like I mentioned, Tom Coughlin, but also George Seifert. And George Seifert is a guy who, yes, he won 2 titles with the Niners, but the guts of the work was done by Bill Walsh.
Mike will get in.
Eventually.
Well, maybe, but probably eventually. But I'll tell you what's going to put him over the top.
All the guys that have learned from him, Sean McVay, yes. Matt LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan, staff. I agree. The staff that he put together in Washington and what they have done is going to be the push that gets him in the hall.
The staff that he had in Washington is very similar to the staff that Bill Belichick had in Cleveland.
Yep.
Starting with Nick Saban.
Says a lot about the issues in the Washington organization that despite having all those bright minds there, they couldn't win. I mean, they won 1 division title.
And the Cleveland organization as well. Coming up after the break, Terry Bradshaw is angry. Why? He just ripped apart Aaron Rodgers. Terry Bradshaw is a guy who speaks his mind. Wait until you hear what he said about Aaron Rodgers and the situation in Green Bay right now. That's next.
Afternoon Drive
Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. Listen, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. Reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Guys, I want to talk to you about a topic that is not easy to talk about or even think about. That is erectile dysfunction. And if you are having problems, my suggestion is Revive Performance for Men. They specialize in ED. They use Gainswave therapy. It has the ability to be a permanent solution. I'm going to repeat that. Has the ability to be a permanent solution. No more shots. And no more pills. I'm guessing your significant other doesn't want to bring this up to you because she knows you're going to be embarrassed about it, but you know it's going on too. So why not do something about it today? My suggestion, Revive Performance for Men. Go to rpm-colorado.com. That's rpm-colorado.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Mighty Plumbing and Heating. Why does Mighty Plumbing and Heating have nearly 155 star reviews? No one has better service and they will meet or beat any written offer. Go to mightyph.com.
Terry Bradshaw, you watch him on Fox every Sunday. Boy, did he go off on Aaron Rodgers. This is what he had to say. With Rodgers being upset shows me how weak he is. Who the hell cares who you draft? I mean, he's a three-time MVP in the league, and he's worried about this guy they drafted last year at number one. And for him to be upset, my goodness, I don't understand that. Pittsburgh drafted Mark Malone number one, Cliff Stout in the third or the fourth round. I had them coming at me from all angles, and I embraced it because when we went to practice, I wasn't worried about those guys. You know, they didn't scare me a bit, so I don't understand why he's so upset at Green Bay. So what would Bradshaw do if he was running the Packers? This is what he said. Here's what I'd do. I wouldn't budge. Let him gripe. Let him cry. Retire. You're 38. Go ahead and retire. See you later. I mean, I'm really strong about stuff like that. And it makes him look weak. In my way of looking at it, it makes him look weak. Do you agree or disagree with Bradshaw?
Well, I mean, his perspective, he played in a time before free agency. And I recall that back in 1983, when John Elway did not want to go play for the Baltimore Colts and was going to go play for the New York Yankees, that was his threat. Terry Bradshaw had similar sentiments back then, 38 years ago. So I'll say this for Bradshaw, he's consistent.
Yep. You can say the same thing about Eli Manning, but here's the difference. There are a lot of different gripes from Aaron Rodgers. Number one, they haven't given him a lot of help offensively. Davante Adams is really good. They have a really good running back, but he's always wanted more help offensively. Terry Bradshaw had a pair of Hall of Famers at wide receiver, had a Hall of Fame center in Mike Webster, had a Hall of Fame running back in Franco Harris, and he had Hall of Famers all over the defensive side of the ball.
Even a lot of their non-Hall of Famers were good. I mean,
yeah.
He had very good offensive line, of course, anchored by Mike Webster. Rocky Blyer's not a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
He was their fullback.
He played basically on a foot and a half.
Yes. And he was a terrific player for Terry Bradshaw's time there. I mean,
they had a Hall of Fame coach.
And oh, by the way, because it was pre-free agency, they could keep that team together.
And by the way, Terry, Aaron Rodgers isn't worried about Jordan Love taking his job. That's not what it's about. What he's upset about is they used a first-round pick in a draft that was loaded with wide receivers on a quarterback in which Rodgers said, I know he's had some injuries with the collarbone, but which he has said, I want to play for many more years. Very different than the Brett Favre situation when Favre talked about retirement openly before they drafted Rodgers. Kind of a different situation.
Different situation, and also they trade up for that guy. They could have stood pat at pick 30. And they could have picked, among others,
LaVisca Chenault. Say Chenault again.
Chenault.
Don't make me jump over the table.
I'd rather you didn't. Chase Claypool.
Right. He's pretty good. He's pretty good.
He's great.
Right.
Someone like that would have made the difference in a championship game that you lost by 5 points, and in part
right.
because you could have used another guy in the red zone.
Right. How would that game have looked in which the Packers were playing well? How would that game have looked with Devontae Adams and Chase Claypool or LaVisca Chenault? How would that have looked?
Green Bay wins 38-31 or 38-34, something like that.
Then maybe Rodgers has a point.
Think about not only would the Green Bay probably would have won. It would have been a game for the ages when you think about like how we were kind of denied a little bit of a game that could have been literally an all-timer.
And here's something else to consider as well that Bradshaw doesn't realize or maybe doesn't know or maybe doesn't care.
I think he doesn't care.
For everything that has happened with the Packers organization and Rodgers, and listen, this guy is no picnic. For all the guys they didn't draft, he still wanted to sign a contract extension.
Uh-huh.
And the Packers, from what I understand, said, no, maybe we'll give you a year. He wanted to stay there. So his feeling is, if you don't want me for the next 3 years, why would I want to be here?
And
Go play Jordan Love then.
It's the whole thing of, do you love him or do you like him? Okay.
Right.
In this case, you are telling somebody who, maybe is, has a couple of personality quirks, but in every way you're telling somebody who has been the perfect spouse, okay?
Who?
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers has been far from a perfect spouse.
No, but in terms of what they've brought to the table, we're talking from a football perspective.
Oh, you mean just on the field?
On
the field, he's been great.
And that's what you're asking ultimately, right?
Yeah, but he's difficult.
But
a lot of great players are difficult.
Right. And ultimately, what you're asking is the result is what is the result on the field?
Right.
The result on the field is that he has been so good for so long that he has allowed you to somehow part ways with an all-time Hall of Fame quarterback of their own, Brett Favre, top 10, top 15 quarterback of all time. You lose him, and somehow you find somebody who is at least as good, maybe better. He allows you as an organization to have had 29 uninterrupted years of relevance, 29 uninterrupted years of Hall of Fame quarterback play. If you're a Packers fan below the age of 35, you don't remember what it's like to be without a Hall of Fame quarterback under center.
I said to my father on the phone today. I said, when was it? 1992?
That's when Favre came in for Don Magic Man Mikowski.
So with that, I said, Dad, you're willing to give up on Rodgers? And he still has years. I'm going to side with the organization. Okay, that's fine. You don't know what it's like to be abandoned in the forest when it's 5 degrees outside, because that's where this Broncos organization has been over the last 5 years. That's where the Jets have been for a long time. And you're about to walk into that wilderness with swim trunks on, and you're going to freeze your ass off.
That's where
this Packers organization is going with Jordan Love.
The single most treasured item in football, the one thing that you're willing to give up an awful lot for, the one thing that you need more than anything, is the quarterback who keeps you relevant year after year and gives you a shot. And the Packers are willing to walk away from probably 5 more years of being with that guy.
There is a story floating out there. I don't know who floated this story. The Rodgers wants the GM Gutekunst fired.
Yeah.
And Murphy, I believe the team president, fired.
Yeah.
Okay. If you had your choice, do those two guys go or Rodgers?
It's a lot easier to find a competent GM and a competent team president than a great quarterback.
Yep.
Problem
is you're opening a Pandora's box for all athletes.
But haven't we already seen this to some degree in the NBA?
More than to some degree.
And players in the NFL, especially star players, take notice of the power that stars have in the NBA. Now, football, as we know, has a bit more of an old school mentality. But this is coming to the NFL, whether the old school people like it or not. This is coming.
Coming up after the break, Aaron Rodgers did not put something out on Twitter that raised eyebrows, but his teammate, Davante Adams, did. That made people think, wait a minute, does Adams know something? And then Rodgers favorited the tweet. What was this tweet that has caused not necessarily an uproar, but has caused a lot of people to think, wow, is this really the end for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay? That's next.
Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. By the way, you can listen to the show, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Colorado Off-Road in Littleton. If you need major accessory brands or something off-market for your truck, car, Jeep, or SUV, they've got it. Upfit today at Colorado Off-Road or go to cooffroad.com.
Aaron Rodgers has been pretty tight-lipped about everything that's been going on over the last 4 or 5 days, obviously referring to his situation in Green Bay, but he did respond to something that his teammate Davante Adams put on Twitter. Adams tweeted, "Gotta appreciate what you got while you got it." Rodgers saw that and liked it. With that, are we blowing this completely out of proportion? Or do you think Adams knows something?
I think Adams knows something. And Bill Michaels from Wisconsin, longtime radio host up there, who we had on last Friday, noted that there were a couple of guys on the roster who might be able to convince Aaron Rodgers to step back from the brink and come back and be a Packer for the 2021 season. One of them was David Bakhtiari, the longtime tackle. The other was Davante Adams, who had a big season at wide receiver last year and has a lot of chemistry with Aaron Rodgers. So when I saw that, I thought, he knows. He knows what's up. And maybe, and probably Aaron's
Well, tell me, what is up?
That Rodgers is dug in and he doesn't want to come back and that he's not going back. That just as...
Well, we already knew that.
Well, we knew that.
We know he's dug in.
Well, no, but we know he's dug in, but there, you know, depending on who you ask, there are some people in Green Bay who would say, hey, we feel like we can convince him to come back. I mean, Brian Gutekunst and Mark Murphy, those are their public pronouncements.
They're not going to convince him.
Right, but that's the thing. Aaron Rodgers, again, like Bill Michaels told us on Friday, is a guy that hasn't spoken to his parents in several years.
Right.
When he is out, when he decides he's out, he tends not to change his mind, not ever.
If Adams put out something like, love you, bro.
Yeah.
Then I'd read into it. Gotta appreciate what you got while you got it. I think that's a shot at the Packers organization. That's how I read it. I don't know if this has as much to do with Rodgers digging in. I think it's a message to Gutekunst and to Murphy, dude, you better appreciate what you have because you may have just messed this up. I think it's more of a message to the Packers organization than it says anything about Aaron Rodgers that, quite frankly, we don't already know.
Yeah, the organization didn't appreciate what it had, and now it's going to pay the price that he doesn't want to be there anymore, that everything, particularly the pick. We talked about it the last segment, that they could have picked T. Higgins, they could have picked Chase Claypool. Even K.J. Hamler would have helped them out a great deal, who the Broncos took.
Yep.
Could have take the top off of defense, right?
Right.
And you picked a guy who couldn't help you. You end up losing the NFC Championship game at home by 5 points. And 5 points is a margin where you say one player in a key role might have made a difference.
Who has a better roster, the Packers or the Broncos? Take quarterback out of the equation. They have pretty good running back.
Yeah.
And Davante Adams would be the best. Davante Adams would be the best wide receiver on the Broncos roster. All due respect to Cortland Sutton, because he is number one.
Right.
And then at running back, as much as I like the tandem that they have, the guy that they currently have is excellent. And Bakhtiari would be the best offensive lineman on the Broncos offensive line.
The Packers aren't devoid of talent. They just, but you look at their roster and then look at Tampa Bay and look at what the Bucs did when they got Tom Brady in.
Right.
And they didn't say, oh, we got Tom, we're done.
Well, that's what New England did, and that's why Tom is playing for Tampa. The similarities between Brady moving to Tampa and Rodgers wanting out, it's almost exactly the same.
Or even going back a little further, what was the Colts roster in Indianapolis toward the end of Peyton Manning's time there? It was hollow.
Right.
It was top heavy. It was not fortified.
I'll say this, for as great as Tom Brady is, and I think he's the greatest quarterback of all time, I think he was looking over his shoulder at Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. I don't think for a minute Aaron Rodgers looks over his shoulder at anyone.
No, he's not looking over his shoulder at Jordan Love, but what he sees in Jordan Love is, A, he sees the guy that's being brought in to replace him, and B, he sees that player as somebody who couldn't help them. They were literally in the NFC Championship game the year before.
Yep.
Yeah, they got beat badly by the 49ers, but they were there. They were within one game of the Super Bowl. What do most teams do when they're within one game of the Super Bowl?
We're one piece away.
Yes. The Packers picked the piece who literally their plan was not to play him for 2 years.
Right. Right.
What does that tell him? And I think there are probably others on the team, other veterans, who probably feel the same way as Aaron Rodgers does.
No question.
How does I imagine Davante Adams and David Bakhtiari among those who feel the same way. That, no offense to Jordan Love personally, but how does this guy help him? And what's interesting is kind of how history repeats itself. When the Packers picked Aaron Rodgers, they were coming off, they weren't in the championship game, but they were a division. They lost the divisional round.
I think they were 13-3, weren't they?
No, they lost that. It was after they lost the divisional round to Philadelphia.
No, but I'm saying in the regular season, I think they were 13-3.
The year before Rodgers became the starting quarterback. I'm talking about the year they drafted him. Okay. They drafted him in 05. Green Bay actually had a really bad season in 05 and then got things turned around in 06 and 07 when Favre was still there. Point being, at the time, one of the things that came up from Brett Favre's camp is with all respect, do you know what it's like to come in and know that there's a guy in the room who was brought in to replace you?
Well, maybe you should stop talking about retirement then.
But Aaron Rodgers never talked about retirement.
That's my point.
And that's a big difference between this situation and Brett Favre.
And that's
there were logical reasons to draft Rodgers then because Favre kept threatening it.
Correct.
Aaron Rodgers has said, I want to play until I'm 44 or 45.
Right. All right, what do we have coming up on Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it?
I would be very surprised if our listeners had not heard the phrase today, may the 4th be with you. We were talking Star Wars next. What's the best film in the franchise? That's coming up right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports. I'm not crazy because I take the right pills
every day and rest, clean your conscience.
Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
So today is May 4th, and Star Wars geeks like to call it May the 4th be with you. I am not a Star Wars geek, but I love Star Wars, and I know you do too. Little known fact, probably you know it, little known fact about George Lucas, that when he did the first one, he took a substantial pay cut in order to do that movie. It was like to the tune of like $350,000. And he said, I'll take a pay cut because I don't think the studio thought it was going to be successful. So he took a $350,000 pay cut and said, fine, I'll do that. But you have to give me the rights to all merchandising and sequels. He has made in the billions with that little deal.
He made in the billions, and then he made billions more by selling Lucasfilm, which he developed, yes, to Disney, which has led to the new generation of Star Wars movies and, of course, a Star Wars series, like The Mandalorian, actually, as an entity within Star Wars, is as good as anything that has ever been produced in that franchise.
Time now for the final word.
The final word is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to MasterpieceRoofing.com today.
Well, the first Star Wars movie, Episode 4, came out in 1977. Since then, there have been 3 trilogies, making 9 movies, a couple standalone movies as well in there. What is your favorite, or what's the best, in your opinion, of all the Star Wars movies?
Go ahead, Mace. Give the standard answer that every Star Wars geek gives.
Every Star Wars geek will give you the answer of The Empire Strikes Back.
Of course they will.
It's
and they're wrong.
Well,
they're wrong. They're wrong. They're wrong.
Why are they wrong? Tell me.
Why are they wrong?
Yes.
Because
I'd like to hear this.
The biggest question throughout all the films was, how did Darth Vader become Darth Vader? And it was only answered in one movie. And that was The Sith.
Revenge of the Sith.
That was it.
Easily the best of the prequels.
Easily the best of all of them.
Wow.
And honestly, the acting by Hayden Christensen was nothing short of dreadful. I didn't love Star Wars because of the special effects. I loved the story. Good versus evil. Father versus son. Son hates father. Then they reconcile. I loved the story of Star Wars. All the special effects were neat, but that was window dressing.
The Skywalker family saga, from Anakin being a kid.
Yes.
To... ultimately, the
how did Ben Solo's little redemption. Kid get so angry to become Darth Vader? To me, that was the overriding question for all Star Wars fans. Not will Han Solo get unfrozen.
Well, that was Return of the Jedi finding out if he get unfrozen.
Right.
But the thing about Empire Strikes Back, first of all, a fairly revolutionary picture in that you have a big budget movie like this.
See, that meant nothing to me. It was the story.
The good guys get their butt kicked,
right,
for 2.5 hours, basically. But there's Yoda is a vital character to the franchise. That he came out in Empire Strikes Back.
That could have been Chewbacca.
That sounded a little like Jabba the Hutt as well.
Yeah.
The characters are on full display in Empire Strikes Back.
Funny story about Empire Strikes Back. Yeah. When I was a young child, we were watching the Star Wars, the original
trilogy. Is there any other type of child that isn't young?
I guess not.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I still consider myself a child. That's why I said
me too.
So... when I was a kid, I broke our family copy of Empire Strikes Back. I tripped when I was taking it to the VCR, smashed it on the brick fireplace. And so we did not have Empire Strikes Back for a while, and my dad was pretty sore with me. But he got over it eventually, and then I got to see the second three, or the first three, depending on how you look at it, when I was young, and they that was when they first had all the special effects. So I have a very nostalgic connection to those movies. And also growing up while Anakin was growing up, also kind of a cool little thing. But I always loved Jar Jar Binks. I know he's a hated character, but I'm a fan. Yeah.
Which character, Danny, and then Mace. Mace, please make this short. We got to end the show. Which character do you most identify with?
Obi-Wan.
Yeah, I know about that.
Why? It's what
I'm totally kidding.
It's who I identify with.
I'm totally kidding.
I can see that. I would say Han
Wise
Solo.
Wise Sage.
And also he has kind of a dim view of the world, of the universe, of the galaxy around him, basically. And he likes to go in the bar and have a drink. Obi-Wan is a man of simple pleasures. But he's also he has that deep philosophical side to him.
Yeah.
What about you, Eric?
Ewok. I'm an Ewok. Definitely. Definitely. About 100. Definitely an Ewok. Definitely.
Why?
Definitely. I'm kidding. I don't know. Probably. I don't know if I had. I liked Han Solo a lot. Like Rogue One. Was that the one with Han? No, Solo.
Solo. Yeah.
That was a great movie.
That
was a great movie.
It's underrated. I think people,
Rogue One was really good too.
Rogue One
was excellent. How they ended it was unbelievable.
Rogue One is right behind Empire Strikes Back for me in terms of the overall series. Rogue One's an amazing film.
Real quick,
it's the only Star Wars film that I actually had. I was actually had tears in my eyes at the end of it.
Did you?
Yeah. There was such an emotional punch to it.
Right. Well, I know we got to hit a break. We got to end the show actually. Yeah. So about a year after I can't remember which one it was, where Han Solo got killed by Kylo Ren.
That was the first one of
So Les and I are talking about it on the show. It came out a year prior to Les and I talking about it. I said, yeah, then when Han Solo dies, and he said, I didn't see it. I said, there's a statute of limitations on this, okay? Listen.
You got two.
Brando dies in the first Godfather. When is it appropriate where you can actually talk about it publicly?
I said,
you got a year to see this movie, Les. Sorry.
I would actually say, it was in Force Awakens. You got 2 months. After two
months. Ooh, that's pretty short.
2 months.
He had a year.
2 months is a standard theatrical run.
Yeah.
Now, it might be different now with streaming.
Yeah.
Maybe you could actually say it's even less than that with streaming.
All right, that was Masterpiece Roofing. Just in case you missed it, recently voted Denver's best roofing company. Customers love them. 85-star Google reviews. Call for a free roof inspection today to see how Masterpiece can turn your home into a masterpiece and how they can get the insurance companies to pay for your roof. And it is hail season. So you might be calling Masterpiece. You know what? You should. Whether it's roofing, painting, gutters, windows, or siding, let Masterpiece turn your home into a masterpiece. Go to MasterpieceRoofing.com. That's going to do it for us. Nolan, fantastic job today. Punching all the right buttons on MileHighSports.com. Danny, great job on the radio side. Mace, you were fantastic, and I will try and do better tomorrow. Make it the best possible night you can.